Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC. Now better to serve you together and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics.
Somebody get us a calendar. It is a mailbag Monday on The Beat. It's presented by the Waterworks. Ohio State arrived on a Sunday, which is actually a Wednesday. A Wednesday for the game is actually a Saturday. The holidays are confusing enough as it is, Berm. I don't know what day it actually is, but the Buckeyes do play on New Year's Eve.
Buckeye time. That's what they call it. That's what Ryan Day, Quinn Temple, and the people in charge have determined it to be. Doesn't matter when Ohio State plays, where they play. Every time they play, it's Saturday. Every time they play, the week is structured around it being Saturday. So here we are on Wednesday night. Tuesday night. Recording Monday morning's episode of the Austin and Berm Show. And it's a mailbag, which is also unusual, but here we are.
I'm very rattled. I'm very confused.
I'm rattled too, but that's just because I hate traveling.
Well, we made it. We are back in Irving at the convention center to get ready. Ohio State arrived on Sunday night. They are at the Anatole. That's where Snap Judgments was on Sunday night. Full team media day later on Monday at AT&T Stadium. Love those. And Berm and I are going to aspire for a notebook, as we did last year during the college football playoff, and just floating around.
Yep.
Talking to coaches, talking to players, talking to anybody else who is around and wants to speak into our microphone.
And even some folks who don't.
Well,
probably not.
If someone says no, hey, we're not going to force them. But there's no better way to kick off this short week into Wednesday night's matchup with Miami with your questions. So, glad we made it safely. Hope everybody had wonderful holidays. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, anything else that you celebrate. Hope it was wonderful and that there's going to be a lot maybe for Ohio State to celebrate on Wednesday evening. And with that in mind, Greg wants to know if the officials continue to allow Ohio State's defensive ends to get tackled on their way to the quarterback. Do you think that Matt Patricia and Larry Johnson will start to use Arvell Reese as a blitzer to get more pressure on the quarterback in the Cotton Bowl? Says there's more justification to that, but he can't help but think that by pressuring Carson Beck, Ohio State can force Beck into bad decisions. Completely agree with that and create the possibility of turnovers. What are our thoughts? If the officials aren't going to call holding, sending Arvell Reese as a blitzer is not going to solve that.
Right, he can be held too.
He will be held. If teams are allowed to get away with that and it's not officiated correctly and properly, I know that it's a huge point of frustration, but you know, we talked with Matt Patricia and Kenyatta Jackson about this a week ago, and basically they just threw up their hands. Like, however the game is going to be officiated, it's up to Ohio State to adjust. That was Matt Patricia's coaching perspective, and Kenyatta's player perspective was, Sonny told me I just can't get held. And so there's, you know, technique and there's aggression and all those things that they're going to have to work through.
And acting.
But they can't. Well, acting didn't.
Yeah.
Well, he was actually being held, and that didn't work. So acting, I don't know that that will solve anything. But, I mean, if the game is officiated poorly, I don't know that Ohio State can solve that by adjusting its scheme and then giving up something that it doesn't want to with Arvell Reese.
Well, I mean, if it is, you just have to hope it's that way on both sides. And that's kind of how it was against Indiana. But you have to deal with it. It is what it is. And do you know yet?
I've not seen it.
We don't know which conference will be officiating. I assume it's going to be an SEC crew because they're not going to have an ACC or a Big Ten crew. And who else exists?
The Big 12.
I guess it could be a Big 12 crew. And they pretty much let anything go there. So we'll see. I mean,
is that true? I don't know. What's the reputation of each league?
I don't know. I just know the Big Ten doesn't call penalties. So more
on Ohio State's opponents.
Well, or Michigan or Penn State's opponents or whatever. Those three teams are like in the last 5 years have been in the bottom five of the country of penalties called against their opponents. So whatever the reason is, the Big Ten officials don't seem to give a lot of grace to the Ohio State Buckeyes or any of the good teams in the league. So we'll see how it plays out. But you just can't worry about it. And that's hard for me to say because as a Buckeyes fan, I watched officials steal the Fiesta Bowl in 2019 from Ohio State. And certainly that game kind of looms large when you're playing against a good team in these sort of matchup games. So bottom line,
that game was 6 years ago from Sunday night. Yeah. And I was just looking back at the coverage and some memories. And That's the worst officiated game in the history of college football.
It was pretty rough. But to the point of the question, I think ultimately is that, yeah, Arvel Reese has to be sent and be an extra pressurer in this game no matter what. I don't know the exact statistic or the exact number, but Carson Beck, when he's not pressured, is like a top 18 quarterback in the nation QBR-wise. And when he is pressured, he's ranked like 120th. So, like, whatever the outcome is, whether it's holds or sacks or pressures or you get burnt on a whatever, you have to put Carson Beck in a position to be uncomfortable on Wednesday night. And so that's going to involve Arvel Reese as much as it has to involve Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, and the rest of the Rushmen. So how do you prepare? You can't prepare for a bad officiated game, right? So you just have to assume it will exist because that's the way sports are. If you watched a college basketball game in the last 10 years, they're all horribly officiated. So we just have to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting part, you know, the question is aimed at how will Matt Patricia and Larry Johnson want to attack. The best case scenario is that you don't still need Arvel Reese to do that. And I know that there's been a lot of conversation over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Arvel's productivity in the stat sheet has dipped. Why is he not making the same impact that he has earlier in the year? And it's like a seesaw. Yeah. The way that Arvel was playing against Indiana allowed Sonny Styles to have one of his most productive games of the season and one of his better games of his career. Now, do you always want to have to sacrifice that? It flips back to something that we've talked about increasingly over the last couple of weeks with putting it in terms of Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, and Brandon Ennis and the number of catches. Like, I know that you don't necessarily have to design a defense solely to get somebody in position to make plays, get a sack, force a turnover. And that's, I think, the balancing act that Matt Patricia is trying to manage here, is that you want Arvel Reese to be around the football. He finds his way around it in most cases, whether you're blitzing him or not. He's going to have to make a huge impact on Wednesday night, but does it have to come solely as a blitzer? Do they have to do that 15 or 20 times to give him that many opportunities at Carson Beck? Like, I would say probably not.
No, because you can make an impact in a myriad number of ways. Myriad number of ways is redundant, of course.
Of course.
Come on, America. Sorry, these Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday shows are very confusing.
Brains are rattled.
I just think that Arvel, and I mentioned this on Snap Judgments last week, and I still believe it. I think the Ohio State defense is as likely to show new wrinkles in this game as the offense. And all the discussion has been about the offense, but I think the defense is just as likely to throw something out there that we haven't seen.
I think very much so. I mean, there's so much that we know that they can get to that Matt Patricia has available in the encyclopedia of defense, and he has the personnel that will allow him to do that. So there's going to be surprises, and there's going to be different solutions for Malachi Toney, just as there would be for Carson Beck or Mark Fletcher or anybody else.
Plus, Eli Brickhandler. Is it Brickholder or Brickhandler?
I'm going to force you to remember.
I truly don't know. Okay. Is it Brickhandler?
Yes.
Okay. He's been scout teaming as Malachi Toney. I didn't know he had that kind of juice.
I don't think that that's correct. I thought Desi Jones was.
Oh. So somebody got the number wrong.
I don't know.
I just saw it reported the other way.
I know. Well, there's another practice coming this week. Yeah. I would bet.
Yeah.
That it's Desi Jones based on what I was told was likely to be happening. But if it is,
that'd be wild.
The Brick Man.
Whatever.
Kudos to him.
Eli the Brick guy.
He is a dual threat.
Yeah.
That was the whole shtick he barely threw at whatever school. I don't even remember it changed its name. That's way too much talk about the four-string quarterback, probably.
Whatever.
Because that's not what Tom wants to know. He said, Merry Christmas. As an avid Buckeyes football fan, I'd like to briefly suggest what I believe would greatly improve the chances of the Buckeyes winning another national championship. The players need to assemble as a team to have another meeting before the Miami game. There's a lot of conversation here about, attitude and captains and leadership and everything that happened a year ago. He was a high school football captain at Eastmore High School with Archie in the early 70s. Thanks to Tom for the note and thanks for the feedback. I don't know that this team needs that. They were already incredibly pissed off and worked up after the loss to Indiana. And the situation is not the same as it was at this time a year ago or a year ago in 2 weeks or 3 weeks coming off of the loss in the game on top of the re-engineering of the defense after the loss at Oregon, and like everything had been pushed to the brink, and with a bunch of veterans and a coaching staff that seemed to be at loggerheads at times. There is no sense to me of ongoing lingering dysfunction with these Buckeyes. And they had gone 12-0 and won in the Big House, and then they did fall flat. And there are a lot of explanations slash excuses for how that happened. But I think everyone had a pretty good feel of what things could be corrected and that they probably would be corrected without having to tear up the furniture in the team room.
I think fundamentally the difference is, and what was said a year ago without ever really being said in the myriad conversations people have had about that famed meeting, I think the one thing that didn't really get explicitly stated but was probably an underlying current was, I think there were people in that room, in that player room, who weren't sure if Ryan Day was the guy to lead this program. That's what I think. That all got answered. And so that's why, to me, there's no need for that kind of meeting now, because I don't think that there's any doubt amongst the players that Ryan Day is right to lead this Ohio State program. Now, that said, clearly the distractions, the way that the team prepared for the Indiana game, set the fan base back to that moment in a lot of ways. And I think that's understandable to go, whoa, 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 that felt the same. But
and the score's the same.
It really didn't feel the same. And it certainly didn't feel the same in the response from the players walking off the field. It didn't feel the same in the response from the coaching staff in the last couple of weeks. Ryan Day immediately, the next day, when they did the college football playoff announcement, press conference, the mood was very different. It was, we're pissed off. We messed this up. We will fix it. And it was not that way last year. It was, I don't know if this guy can get us there. And right. Then they wanted the national championship. And then those concerns are out the window. So now it's like, you want to obviously fix whatever caused the distractions, and Ryan Day taking over the play calling, Brian Hartline getting back to just receivers, all that stuff has happened. And all of those things are reasons why that meeting doesn't need to happen. Because if Ryan Day would have let Brian Hartline continue to be the de facto play caller or not made the changes he made in the last 3 weeks, I think that's a much more relevant conversation.
I do think there would have been more
questions.
I guess I can't say for sure. The potential for more heated player-to-coach conversations and meetings if they had not done anything to address what everyone knew, which was that Brian Hartline had way too much on his plate, that Ohio State's offensive game plan was not at the level that it needed to be for Indiana, that they didn't execute to the level that they needed to. And that is not solely about Brian Hartline. That extends to the rest of the coaching staff. But if they had come out of the Indiana game in the next week or the next 2 weeks or last week on Monday and said, no, you know, we're good here. Brian Hartline's done enough in Tampa. He's locked in. He's going to call plays just like he did in the Big Ten Championship game. Then I think there would have been a number of people, potentially like even in the wide receivers room, like, that's not going to work, because they had been spending time with Keenan Bailey in practice. They knew the opportunities that they would have wanted. Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and Brandon Ennis all included in the red zone when they were on the sideline didn't exist. I think that probably would have prompted something more like that. And in my opinion, would have been justified to do so.
Agreed, but it didn't.
It
didn't need to, and that's because Ryan Day learned more about himself last December than anybody else in the program.
He did. But so I certainly understand where Tom's coming from and appreciate that question. Want to make sure that you guys keep your home winter ready with the Waterworks and Header Energy Savings Plan. Get priority heating service, members-only savings, and continuous comfort all year long. Call today to schedule the Waterworks and Header, 614-232-2222. Easy for me to say as I mess up.
Waterworks a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics?
They absolutely are, Berm. And they are a proud, well, I don't know if they're proud. They are a sponsor of the beat. I hope that they're proud.
Yeah, so far.
I have to sneak this in. This came from Joel Kohler. And I said, if you disagree, let us know. And the headline of this email is Ohio by Camp. You're wrong, sincerely, Joel. So, okay, there is someone who likes it.
I need to know the name of the lead singer of Camp. Is it Joel?
Joel Kohler. I can't wait to find out. If it is,
that'd be awesome.
Please, Camp, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Or how about you help us by writing a theme song for the Austin and Berm Show?
Just, we're happy to talk to you about it and get to the bottom of the story.
I like the song. I want to be clear. I don't dislike the song. I dislike the song for the atmosphere at Ohio Stadium at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah,
it's that's what I don't like. I understand if that song played pregame, at a 10 minutes before the team came out, whatever, something.
Oof.
Or as I said last week.
Yeah, let's replace War Pigs
at the end of the game.
Bleh!
At the end of the game, when the team's walking off, or when after Carmen, whatever. It's just not the right vibe, IMO, for that point of the game. That's all.
All right, Brian, in Laguna, California. I think this is especially for you because it's been 3 days, three whole days since I've heard you make any reference to this. Why hasn't Matt Patricia been locked up to a long-term contract? It makes me think he's holding out for an NFL opportunity. I do not think that is the case.
I don't think that's the case, but I also understand why someone may have that concern, because we have been talking about the fact that this extension has been discussed inside of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center and around Ohio State for, 2 months now?
Yeah.
It's not like these conversations only began when the coaching carousel started to whirl around, right? Like, this was happening back in early November. And so
October was the first time I heard
October.
It.
So yeah. Like you have to, it's fair. Now, I guess the counterpoint is that there's no reason to negotiate during a playoff run, right?
Has anyone tried to do that?
We've seen it in the past. It actually didn't hurt the team that much until after the playoff run was over. But I do think that it's a situation where if you're an Ohio State fan who is on edge, or you've got, the willy-nillies about him taking a job somewhere. There's no college jobs that are of any sort of consequence out there right now for him, right? However, the NFL is an interesting thing. I don't know. We watched Chip Kelly a year ago make this decision, and certainly the conversation when Chip Kelly was hired was never like, oh, he's a one and done, that's the plan, right? But Chip had been out of the NFL for a couple years. He had been in the college game, coaching at UCLA, hated it, went to Ohio State, got back to his love of the game, but then realized there's still parts of the game that maybe he didn't like. I actually think that is the exact opposite for Matt Patricia. That's a guy who'd only been in the NFL for 25 years, who got an opportunity to come back to the college game and realized that the thing he does best, which is to teach football, he can now do to kids who actually need to be taught football. And I think he is enjoying it like crazy. I understand why people may be concerned that an NFL team would offer $6, $7, $8 million to be a defensive coordinator. But I believe he wants to be an Ohio State. I'm getting choked up.
Yeah, no, I think there's another part of this too, which you and I can't answer. And maybe Matt Patricia can't either. And
maybe he can, though. Maybe we can ask him at media day.
Well, but this part he can't answer. And this comes up, I'm going to loop it into a conversation and a question that we get all the time. Like, it feels like Ryan Day's next move is the thing that he will want to challenge himself is with the NFL. Well, there has to be interest in
the other side
from NFL teams to bring him in as a head coach. He's not going to go be an offensive coordinator. And I don't think if NFL teams, now this is speculation, if they're looking for a defensive coordinator, that someone is going to double Matt Patricia's salary to go back to the NFL and do that. He's been there for a long time, and that's not – I'm not saying that as a pro or a con. If he's really enjoying being at Ohio State the way that we think he is, he's done that other thing for a very long time. I don't know that he has anything that he has to prove to himself at that level. So in that scenario, I would imagine he would be holding out for a chance to make up and atone for what happened with the Detroit Lions as a head coach.
Yeah.
So what is the level of interest that NFL organizations have in Matt Patricia to do that? I don't know the answer. You don't know the answer. Matt Patricia probably doesn't know the answer, but I bet he's skeptical of it, at least right now. But if his agent wants to figure that out and have those conversations and figure out what salary needs to be put in place, where he wants to be, what Matt Patricia wants in the future, if he wants to be interview for some of those jobs, like, that's all conversations that I think you can have in 3 or 4 weeks or after the national championship. And I don't believe that Matt Patricia is going to force that issue in the moment, maybe the way his predecessor did.
And obviously that's because he's a guy who has seen it from the other side. He knows how that can, break things up. You break up good chemistry. But the reality is, he spent 25 years in the NFL. He knows what it's like.
Yeah.
He could have stayed in the NFL. He could have gone. I mean, you have to remember his last gig in the NFL, he was not a defense coordinator. He was an analyst working for the Eagles in like a special role. He wasn't even a guy that they really wanted in that spot right then. Now, obviously, his reputation is in a bit of a rehab mode, but what we've realized, or you should realize going on at Ohio State, is that Ryan Day and the Ohio State rehab projects is going to be a way of life from now on.
Yeah.
So you might lose a guy like Matt Patricia after a year or two. The idea that he could stick around for five, 6 years, that is probably, that's like the, that's the best case scenario. That's not what you should ever expect anymore from an Ohio State coordinator.
I don't think that will happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think an Ohio State coordinator now, if you get 3 years out of them, I think that is about the max we're ever going to get, because Ryan Day seems fairly intent on this sort of hiring practice and this sort of profile for his coordinators moving forward. I don't see a scenario where Ryan Day ever goes back to the hotshot up and coming coordinator. He tried that with Mike Yurcich. He tried that, he tried to do the retain Brian Hartline and elevate. Like the way that this works is for Ryan Day to get guys who know more football than him.
Hey everybody, it's Jeremy Birmingham. Berm here from the Austin and Berm Show on 97.1 The Fan. So I figured I owed you another check-in. I'm now 2 weeks into Awaken 180 and I'm down 14 pounds. What surprised me most isn't just the number, it's how normal this feels. I'm not miserable. I'm not obsessing over food and I'm not guessing. I'm just following the plan and watching it work. And that's why this matters, because if you're like me, you've tried things before where week one feels exciting and week two feels exhausting. This isn't that. Awaken 180 gives you the structure, tells you exactly what to do, and is with you to ensure that you're doing it right. That's the difference. And for someone like me, on the road, in the car, eating at weird hours, that matters. If your weight loss is the goal this year, don't pick something that you hope you can stick with. Pick something that's already sticking. 2 weeks, 14 pounds, and I'm just getting started. Find your results and feel free to support your goals at awaken180weightloss.com.
What's funny that you mentioned that, because I just happened to scroll down here and Joe asked this, and it's related to the hiring on the other side of the football. This is Joe from Akron. I have been following the show for years now. Thank you very much. Love tuning in daily. We appreciate that too. Knowing that Ryan Day has found recent success in his CEO version of the head coach of the Buckeyes, does the result of the game on Wednesday night against Miami, either good or bad, have serious implications for the direction Ohio State goes with the offensive coordinator for years to come? I know he's enjoyed having more availability to all units of the team, but I think it's possible that if the offense clicks in a big way and we make another run at a title, a Ryan Day, Keenan Bailey offensive play calling tandem could be in play as opposed to going after a big named OC. One of your thoughts. Thank you, Joe in Akron. I would say simply my understanding is that what happens in the college football playoff is going to have a major influence on Ryan Day's thinking. I don't think that it means that the end result will be Ryan Day maintaining play calling responsibilities for week one in 2026. But this opportunity that is in front of the infrastructure that is currently in place, so meaning not Brian Hartline, Keenan Bailey, or Tyler Bowen, or Billy Fessler, or even Carlos Lachlan, or some combination of all of the above, they have a chance to say, this offense is working. It doesn't need an outside hire. They're going to bring in somebody to fill out one of these roles, whether that is four wide receiver, whether that's tight end, there will be a hire. And if they fall flat on their face against Miami, or they lose in the Fiesta Bowl, or they don't win the national championship, I would wager that window will shrink. And the need for Ryan Day to bring in another outside hire, again, one who probably has familiarity with what he wants to do offensively, not going to be someone to come install a new offense.
Right.
It does not work the same way as the defense and the head coach of the defense. What happens over the next three games, starting on Wednesday night, I think without question is going to influence the way that this process plays out.
It has to, because if Ohio State were to lose on Wednesday night, let's say they had another lackluster offensive performance like they had in their last two losses, then the questions about what Ryan Day's offense is now will get louder. If you remember, when Ryan Day was hired, he was hired because Ohio State's offense had gotten stale and stagnant. The Urban Meyer offense, which had been his offense since 2003 when he was at Utah, or Bowling Green, it had lost its way. It was no longer the explosive, dynamic offense that it was when it was at its inception.
Yeah.
And so if Ryan Day were to lose a third game in 12 months, where the offense was a no-show, I think there will be real questions about, hey, is this offense keeping up with the changes of college football? And I mean, if you look at the primary complaints that fans have had all year and analysts around the country about the Ohio State offense, it's they're too slow, they're too happy to be in jumbo packages, and like they're moving away from what college football is. And so I do think that the outcome matters. I do wonder, is Joe's last name Moorhead?
It wasn't Joe Moorhead.
Okay. So there are a number of people who are obviously very interested in that job and would love to be Ohio State's offensive coordinator. I don't see, and I know that you've had this conversation with people, and I know who the people are, so I'm not going to say that I disagree entirely with the note. I don't see a world, personally.
In a world
where Ohio State repeats as national champs, that they promote an offensive coordinator from this group that's in the building. I just don't see it. I really think Ryan Day, especially if he wins another championship, the ability to say, I do what I want in this program, it is mine. If I want to bring in...
Well, there's risk in that too, Berm.
Sure, there always is. But like at some point, when you're a 46-year-old head coach and it's the only job you've ever had, and you're running the biggest ship in the world, and you've a multiple-time national champion, and then you have the ability to do what you want. And he's going to have to make that decision. But I think he is... I do really believe Ryan Day has understood the best thing for Ohio State is for Ryan Day to not have to babysit his coordinators. And I can't, no matter how much he trusts Billy Fessler and Keenan Bailey and Tyler Bowen, he's older than those guys. He's been there. He is going to put his hand in that pot more than he would want to, as opposed to what he did with Chip Kelly and now what he's done on the defensive side of the ball. I really just don't see him going back to that way. Unless it is like, hey, if we're not promoted, all three of these guys are leaving and whatever, then you give co-titles and all that crap, it doesn't matter. It is not good for Ohio State if Ryan Day has to be the de facto offensive coordinator again.
No, I agree 100% with that. And I know that there's been frustration, whether in the comments with some of the emails that we've been getting at the Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com, you know, for days like a Mailbag Monday, that like, when I have talked about this, I've said, well, I'm not making a prediction about what is more likely than not. But the reason I'm saying that is because I do believe that this process is contingent on what happens starting in the college football playoff in the Cotton Bowl against Miami. I don't know that I could honestly and legitimately say this path is favored over another. I think that would be disingenuous for me to do so. I don't disagree with any of your points. If you're Ohio State, and if you have one of the largest salary pools in the country, if Ryan Day is at his absolute best, which I think we all can all agree, America, that he is in the CEO role, then hiring someone like we've mentioned, whether that is a Joe Moorhead type candidate or a Brian Daboll-like individual.
Yeah, the prototype.
Right. One of those people. Like we can all imagine, like all say, well, that's probably best for the future of Ohio State, regardless of what has just been accomplished with the infrastructure in the place for the last 2 years. So I'm not saying they definitely do that because Keenan Bailey has earned an opportunity or Tyler Bowen has had play calling experiences previously. That does help them. Sure. Keenan Bailey's been at Ohio State now for a decade. He's not unfamiliar with what Ryan Day wants to do. That's why I think those options could be appealing for them if they win three games. If you're asking me, would I do that in favor of hiring whoever else, Nathan Shielhouse or Brian Daboll or Joe Moorhead or anyone else that we could come up with? I'd say, well, if you can do that, maybe you should.
Yeah, I completely agree. The process will be seriously impacted by the playoff one way or the other. I don't think the result will be impacted by the playoff. That's how I'm couching it. And it's not because I have not had that conversation with whoever you had that conversation with. It's not my purview. I just think what I've seen from this program with Ryan Day in this new role, which he's still growing into, like he's still only 2 years into this new CEO version of himself. And so there's going to be moments where he doubts himself. There's going to be moments where you fall back into old habits or you think, well, continuity, because that's the one thing when he was on the beat 2 weeks ago talking to me about the recruiting class, the thing he brought up was like, hey, our chemistry, our continuity, our consistency, that's why people are still flocking to Ohio State. And so I think there's an allure to that for him, but I still don't know if in the long-term big picture interest of the program, that's best.
Yeah, no, I think that's what's setting up for one of the more fascinating subplots heading into Wednesday night, and why I mentioned over the weekend, like Tyler Bowen and this offensive line and potentially what it means for his future as a coach or the perception of the job that he's done is so critical, because that is the matchup that you have to look at. The Miami defensive line against an Ohio State offensive line coming off of its worst performance of the season, like unequivocally. So I think all those dynamics are intriguing. Same with Kenyon Bailey and the tight ends, and when they've not been productive enough in the red zone. Like, all of that ties in together for this platform that they have.
Well, that is the weird thing, before we move on to the next question. You have these coaches that are all in place, right? They've all had their own warts to deal with throughout this season. And so I think Ryan Day is getting a really good sense of what Billy Fessler, of what Keenan Bailey, of what Tyler Bowen, what they're capable of when they have to make adjustments on the fly, when they have things that don't work, when they have a quarterback that struggles to read something early in a game, how they quickly respond. Like, so I think there's been really good practical, like, on-the-job training for these guys. But, again, ultimately, it's Ohio State. You can hire pretty much anyone you want.
Yeah, no, and I won't be surprised if that ultimately does wind up tipping the scales, because then the last thing I'll say about it, which I didn't bring up last week or 2 weeks ago or when this happened, and it'll sound like people like that I'm only, you know, hyping up the current staff and that I don't want them to hire from outside or whatever. There was a path forward where Ryan Day was weighing what to do with defensive coordinator that included Tim Walton and Matt Guerrieri as co-defensive coordinators. Did I think that that was the leading option, the only option? No, but it existed. It was something that Ryan Day was considering. And
it was certainly the option we were informed, like, was a very real one a week after Jim Knowles left. Like, yeah. We were told, like, this is very likely the way this is going to go. And so that's actually a question for Talking Tuesday, probably, when it comes to you and Television's Adam King. Like, when we do get a chance to talk to Ryan Day on Tuesday at the coach's press conference, I'm wondering what part of that process for him changed it. Because the conversation back after Jim Knowles left was very likely like, hey, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. And then something caused him to say, wait a second, I need to back up.
Yeah.
And so I would love to know the thought process behind that, because it's not a question we've ever asked.
And that may well be the case on offense as well. And that won't surprise me. I don't have a pecking order in place, and I wish that I did, America. I really do. Aaron wants to know if we think that the running back rotation is here to stay, or if you, Berm, prefer the one-man show, i.e. J.K. Dobbins or Zeke. I used to think one running back, but this year may have changed my mind. Ohio State has four backs with different styles, can really help with longevity for getting through a season and healthy going into the NFL. Number one, Bo Jackson has everything, is elite, needs to work on blocking maybe, he said. These are his evaluations. Isaiah West, not far behind, power and vision are really good. C.J. Donaldson brought experience to the table, brings strength and power. James Peoples, agility is exceptional, great speed. Bonus, Turbo Rogers, look out for him next year. He is really good. And then he caps it by saying, although I do think Ohio State runs it down Miami's throat with Bo on New Year's Eve. Go Bucks from Aaron. The running back rotation is absolutely here to stay.
100%.
This is by design. It's intentional. They're going to recruit to it. They're going to play that way. The absolute blueprint proved it on the way to a national championship, because Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson bought into it, and the coaching staff bought into it. And I think that Carlos Lachlan is going to continue building a room that will rely on multiple guys. And the adjustment is not even, Berm, in my opinion, just lightning and thunder in one and two. And it very well could be looking like this in the future with three or four, which I didn't think in years past was a way. And in fact, not just years past, I think I said in October that it didn't make sense to do it that way.
Yeah.
And I think I was probably wrong about that.
I don't know if you were or not. I mean, I was on Christmas Day, I rewatched the Ohio State and Oregon national championship game from 2015. And Ezekiel Elliott had 36 carries or something for,
like, wow, so he's pretty good though.
But that's three straight games of that, right?
Yeah.
So you understand the point here, which is like, how much wear and tear are you putting on someone? Zeke is out of the NFL and, you know, was one of the best running backs in history when he was healthy. But you can win either way, is my point. You can win both ways. The question is this: are the players who are getting the football making a difference when they get the football? And ultimately, that is what matters. So I don't know that we're going to see Bo Jackson, who is clearly going to be the bell cow of this running back room moving forward, as he has been for the last 2 months. But I still don't expect we'll ever see him have a day where he has 25 carries. Like 20 is a lot.
It is a lot.
And especially in an Ohio State offense that's running 55 plays, right?
Well, and in an offense that has Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate or,
right,
you know, insert whatever five-star wide receiver next year in the future.
So, what? Again, I brought this up on a show probably 2 months ago. What I was told were the target, really, for Ohio State back in October when I brought this up the first time was 40% of the carries for Bo, 40% of the carries for Isaiah, and then you split up the other 20% situationally between the other guys. That has not borne itself out that way. Bo has taken more like 60% of the carries. And when you watch the way, even the way he ran the ball against Indiana, like Bo Jackson ran the ball pretty dang well against Indiana. I know the overall statistics show Ohio State had 54 yards rushing on 29 carries, but that's because there were 9 sacks or 29 yards of sack yardage. So Bo Jackson is the guy. So like this question is, it's both answers because Bo Jackson is the guy, but there will always be a rotation.
Well, I think that if there's been something that I have sensed, and it plays into what you're talking about with 40-40-20 situational, is that Ohio State has at times seemed to box itself in with the way it's going to use the personnel, whether that's packages or whether it's individuals. When Bo Jackson, and because Ryan Day will talk about it. Well, we're going to ride the hot hand. We're going to rotate, but if somebody gets hot, get him off. Like, I know that Bo Jackson fumbled twice in the red zone, and that has, I think, maybe skewed this.
Yeah.
If he's getting you inside the 10, maybe let him go ahead and see if he's got a couple cracks to get you across the goal line. And I understand that some of this Bo did to himself and that the coaching staff is trying to trust him in a different situation, but they trust him everywhere else between the 20s to be really good. And that's the part where it's like, oh, we're looking at the stat sheet. And I'm not saying that's exactly how they do it, but they have thought about who they're going to use in what situations. And they have consciously put C.J. Donaldson primarily in that role. And it worked more often than it didn't, but it didn't work every time. And it didn't work at the level that Ohio State expects.
My thoughts are this. There's two of them. A, I'd rather fumble inside of my opponent's 5 than at my own 20.
What if you just don't fumble?
But don't fumble. B, the idea that you ride the hot hand, there's just been one guy who's had a hot hand for 3 months. So let's ride that guy. This is a 20 carry game for Bo Jackson against Miami. Anyone else who gets more than 6, I'll be shocked.
More than 6? Oh. Well, both predictions aren't until Wednesday, which is Friday.
Yeah.
Which is also Saturday.
I believe fully that Bo Jackson will have 90% of Ohio State's running back carries moving forward.
It's really confusing. Yeah. I just realized that.
Math is hard. Days are difficult.
All right, we got one more.
One more.
This is from Steven. Because it actually is more specific to the game than some of the others we got into. So could it be possible that we're looking at 13 to 10 bookends signaling an end to an era? Oh, this is off to a negative start. Last year after the Michigan game, there was this storied team meeting where truths were told and egos buried, which led to gloves off with respect to offensive play calling. My fear is that after this year's 13 to 10 loss, especially given Hartline's exodus, that Ryan Day will feel obligated to drop schemes to prove a point and not take a hard look at personnel and factoring their strengths and weaknesses, draw up plays to put each player in the best position to succeed. My players, if the players know this, is that similar to Penn State after Oregon and they'll just give up? It's a fear. Do you think it's possible? Could Day revert to his old stubborn play to make a point and not play to win? That's from Steven. I guess I would say I don't think anything is possible.
No.
Would I be afraid of that? I think that this month and Ryan Day being more involved would not be to be stubborn. It would be to make sure that Ohio State's players are in the best position to succeed against Miami, because I don't think that he feels like they were against Indiana.
Fear is the byproduct of an irrational mind, right? I mean, Steven, I understand.
We don't know days and numbers, but you were just...
Steven, I completely understand your point because, again, as we mentioned about that team meeting earlier from Tom's email, is that there are moments where you, as a fan, especially as someone who grew up an Ohio State fan in the 90s and saw all the heartbreaks and all the 2015 loss to Michigan State and 2019 to Clemson and 2000 or 1998 to Michigan State, every loss to Michigan that's ever happened in the history of the rivalry, like every loss feels like it is a watershed moment for Ohio State, one way or the other. Like, because you lose once every...
Because they don't lose.
You lose once every 2 years. Yeah. And so every time you do lose, it feels like something went horribly, horribly wrong. And how can we fix it without throwing the baby out with the bathwater? And I just don't think this is that case. Again, I think Ryan Day, after this season, when Ohio State's done holding up the national championship trophy, we get a chance to sit down with him in February for another synopsis, another recap of the year. One of the things he'll say is that I wasn't going to let this team have that doubt again. And so I think you're going to see ultra-aggressive Ryan Day against Miami. Will that play to this team's strengths? I don't know. I think that's a bigger question. I think the bigger fear is that this team is actually not built for that type of offense.
Sure.
Because I don't know that Julian Sain is built for that yet. I don't know that there's enough depth behind the wide receivers to get there. And I don't know that the running game is as explosive as it was when that offense was happening with Travion and the home run threats. And you don't really have that now. This team and this defense needs to be on the field. You were trying to keep your defense off the field in 2022.
Right.
Like, you were like, well, we have to score 50 points.
Better score 40.
So, like, long story short, I completely understand the fear. But I think that's rooted in people who still just don't know if Ryan Day is actually the guy to lead this program. And when we go back to that first comment about the team meeting,
yeah,
nobody in that room has that doubt.
Yeah, there's, and that's, I don't sense any of that. But we're going to find out how all of that works. We're so close now. Thanks for spending a Monday, which is, I guess it's a Thursday.
It's actually Thursday now. Yeah, today is Wednesday.
Gosh, I didn't even have that right at the start of the beat.
Yeah.
So, sorry, America.
You can call the Waterworks any day of the week.
They will be open. They will take your call. And they will help you get through these holiday seasons, including New Year's Eve, when Ohio State will play Miami at AT&T Stadium. We can't wait. Back later, we'll be at AT&T Stadium later on Monday with the notebook to talk to all of your Ohio State players. We'll have some snap judgments. We will have a Talking Tuesday on a literal Tuesday, which will be a best Friday in football with Television's Adam King. And I'm going to try and get everything straight. All that really matters is that if your calendar says December 31st, Ohio State will be playing in the quarterfinal at the Cotton Bowl. Thanks for joining us on The Beat, presented by the Waterworks. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.